Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Obviously, Sheldon is here because there is music in the background. Very, very interesting selection, but I think people are going to be so surprised at what the theme is about today.
All right, so hi everyone.
Hello. Oh, did you hear that? Very posh hi.
Yes. Everybody. We're trying our best. We're putting on our best voice for today.
Didn't last very long. No, no.
So today, 37 years ago, there was a song that went back into the charts. And it was a Nina Simone song called My Baby Just Cares For Me.
Yes, love it.
And the song was originally released in 1962. It was recorded in 1957. But in those days, it would take like a... There'd be a big gap between the recording of a song and the release of a song. So it was recorded in 1957, released in 1962. And it didn't do anything. It was like a song that was there and no one was really that interested in it. It just disappeared. Anyway, in 1987, on this day in 1987, the song was re-released, but it was included in an advertisement for Coco Chanel, the fragrance Chanel No. 5. Mm-hmm. And the popularity of the song included in the advertisement catapulted the song into popularity.
I didn't realize that the gap between the release and the ad was such a big gap.
Exactly. And it just pushed the song into the charts for the first time. The song had never charted. And it went to number 5. So the Chanel No. 5 ad went to number 5 in the UK. And it became a signature tune for Nina Simone, like 20 years after she first started in the music industry. And actually, that song was one of her debut singles. Mm. So it was 1962, 1987. And reading about that just made me start thinking that, you know, sometimes people are not ready for certain things. And I was listening to John Batiste and he was talking about how music will appeal to you at a time when it's supposed to appeal to you. Mm-hmm. So it might be released today. Mm-hmm. It might only...
And it may not be time.
Exactly. It might not be the time for you to get it. And so with Nina Simone song, My Baby Just Cares For Me, it took 20 years for it to be really appreciated for what it was. And it really blasted Nina Simone into the mainstream. She was a very respected artist up to that point, but mainly amongst jazz musicians. And with that song, she became known
mainstream. Marvin Gaye's song?
So this Marvin Gaye song, Heard Through the Grapevine, was recorded in 1967, but released in 1968. And when it was released, it was a really brilliant song. I mean, it was a Motown song. It was written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong, who wrote a lot of songs for Motown. And the Motown formula was basically, they would write a song and it was owned by the record company. So Motown owned the songs. And they would try and get as much leverage out of that one song as possible. So the first recording was by Gladys Knight and the Pips. And then the Miracles recorded a second version of the song. So the Miracles were headed up by Smokey Robinson. And so they recorded a second version. And then Marvin Gaye recorded a third version. So all they used to do is they'd keep all the instrumentals, everything the same. And
just
then
redo it,
and swap out the lead artist. Anyway, the song, when it was released, it did very well. It went to number one in the United States and went to number one in the UK. It sold 5 million units, and it was, at the time, one of Motown's biggest hits, and one of the biggest selling hits ever. But and then in 1985, the song was used in a Levi Strauss ad for the 501 jeans.
The popular 501 jeans.
Exactly, the iconic 501 jeans. And all of a sudden, the song recharted again. Out of nowhere, the song went back into the charts. And it charted for the first time in the UK. It went to number 8 in the UK. In the United States, it didn't beat its original appearance, although it didn't beat its original appearance in the UK either. But it went into the top 10, which just shows you, like, the right alliance with the right song can regenerate an artist's career. Mm. By that stage, Marvin Gaye was, deceased, however. But it revived his career and it brought him back onto the charts with this amazing song. And the song was also used, I don't know if you remember the Raisins. There was like a Raisins like animated television show and this song was used in it as well.
Sure.
And the inspiration behind it was, Heard It Through the Grapevine, was Ray Charles and that whole like gospel feel. So you can hear like a very strong gospel feel in the song.
So we're going to go to a spot break and when we come back, we'll have more with Sheldon. What ad was this?
So this was also a Levi Strauss ad for the Benny King song.
I think they've done this many times over.
Oh, many times. This song is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
So it was originally released in 1961, and it is based on a hymn by a Methodist minister called Charles Albert Tinley.
Mm-hmm.
And he, after doing some deep diving, he was also responsible for the civil rights anthem, We Shall Overcome.
Mm.
And he wrote a lot of anthemic songs. But anyway, Benny King, when he wrote the song, he decided that he wanted to do like a revival because the original Stand By Me, which was based on Psalm 46, was written in 1905. Mm. So this was 1961 and he wanted to like write something with the spirit of Stand By Me, but like in a modernized form. And that's why Charles Tinley is not credited on the song because it's not quite exactly the same.
Mm.
But anyway, so he wrote the song and he wanted to give it to a band called The Drifters.
Mm.
And The Drifters weren't interested in the song. They were like, it's too basic, it's too simple, we don't want to do it. Anyway, so he then went into studio and he was recording the song with two iconic songwriters called Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, who were part of this movement called the Brill House Sound and the Brill Building Sound. And they were in studio and they were recording this song called Spanish Harlem, which is a very famous Benny King song. They recorded it, but they finished early and there was extra studio time left over, and they said to him, do you have anything else that you would like to record, like, you know, like, is there something that we can use the remainder of the time for? And he on the piano played this song, Stand By Me, and they were like, this is brilliant. And in studio, while they were all sitting there, the musicians got called back, everyone got called back, and they finished the song. And they wrote the song and recorded it. Anyway, the song went to number 4 in the United States and number 27 in the UK in 1961. And then in 1987, the song was brought back in a movie called Stand By Me, which featured River Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a coming-of-age movie. It was very iconic for the time. I remember watching it, but I was very young at that time. But I remember it being a big thing, and this song was obviously prominent in the movie. But the song at the same time was used in a Levi Strauss advert. And based on the strength of this Levi Strauss advert, the song went back onto the charts. It went to number 1 in the UK. It went to number 1 in Ireland. And it went to number 1 in Canada. And the song just blew up.
Wow.
It's considered one of the greatest songs of all time. It's included in the National Recording Registry in the Library of Congress in the United States. In 2015, it was inducted. And it also is included in the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1998. The song in 2012, they figured out that it has generated $22 million in royalties.
Wow.
Making it the 6th highest earning song of its era.
Wow.
So it is an iconic song, and Benny King earned 50% of all the royalties on that. So the other two guys, Jerry Lieber, Mike Stoller, share the remaining 50%.
Not bad, though.
Not bad. No. You can live off that.
Yeah, of course.
And the song before that was a Phil Collins song called In the Air Tonight. And it was originally released in 1981, and it was about Phil Collins had just left Genesis, where he was the drummer and the vocalist, and he decided to go solo, and he recorded this album called Face Value, and on this album, the first single, so his first solo single was this In the Air Tonight. And the song was written whilst he was going through a divorce, and he was very depressed about losing his wife, but don't worry, he married another two times. But He wrote the song and he was very depressed about the whole situation, etc., etc. The song went to number 2 in the UK, number 19 in the United States, and it was only beaten to number 1 by John Lennon's Woman, which was a posthumous hit. John Lennon had just passed away, and so he went to number 1 with Woman, and Phil Collins went to number 2 with In the Air Tonight. But anyway, fast forward to 2007, so almost 30 years later, and Cadbury's is having a bit of a PR crisis. The opinion polls regarding Cadbury's was at an all-time low in 2006. And they even had a factory that had a leaking pipe, which resulted in salmonella poisoning. And so people were very anti-Cadbury's. And they were like, we need to do something to revive the brand. And they spent £6.5 million on an advertising campaign to try and shift the perception around Cadbury's. Mm. And the advert that came out of it was the iconic gorilla advert with this guy in a gorilla suit playing the drums, playing the drum fills from the Phil Collins song In the Air Tonight. And when Phil Collins saw it, he was like, this is brilliant. Yeah. And it revived opinions around Cadbury's, and it had the desired effect of what Cadbury's was trying to achieve, which was to try and clean up their act. It was
a
huge success.
What a story. Yeah. The legend that is Johnny Clegg.
Yeah, so Johnny Clegg, so this song is quite interesting because it was written by Johnny Clegg in 1982, originally released in 82 with his band called Jaluka. And it was a hit, but it wasn't like overwhelming. And then in 1987, with his other band, Savuka, he released it again. And this time around, the song was included on an album called Third World Child. And it became a really big hit at that time. And actually, it launched his career onto the international stage. And people started like understanding what Johnny Clegg was trying to achieve with his sound. The song is quite interesting because it's written during the apartheid era, and he was, an opponent of apartheid, and the song specifically talks about how apartheid not only displaced, it displaced everybody in the country actually, because the song talks about like losing your identity and losing your place and hierarchy within the country. And if you look at it like now, in retrospect, you can see that the whole regime not only displaced people of color or people of other races other than white, it also included the white people. It displaced even white people. To the point that today it's difficult to talk about certain things, and you can't even acknowledge certain elements of your culture because of what happened in the past. So inevitably it did displace everybody in the end. And so that's what the song talks about. So it's quite poignant to think about like where the song was back then and the message that it was communicating into the future. Anyway, the song was then included in a movie called Rain Man, which was a movie with Robert De Niro and Tom Cruise. And it spoke about a guy who had autism and, once again, a displaced person. So actually, the song really fitted into the context of what the movie was, because it's talking about people that are displaced. And in this instance, it spoke about the savant who was highly intelligent but didn't really fit into society. And so the song really works. The song was a sort of a hit for Johnny Clegg in the UK, where it peaked at number 75 on the UK charts. And in the United States in 1983, it peaked at number 106 on the chart. So not a high charting song, but it did make an impact, and it did launch Johnny Clegg's international career. Now, the Miriam Makeba song is quite interesting because, once again, we're talking about displacement and displaced people. So the song was originally recorded by the Manhattan Brothers, and Miriam Makeba, who was this ultimate matriarch, who sort of reminds me of like Coco Chanel. Coco Chanel had this whole thing, so it brings us back to the Nina Simone thing. But Coco Chanel had this whole thing that she never wanted to be controlled by a man. She would dictate the pace in any kind of a relationship. And so Miriam Makeba had that sort of like energy that she was the queen bee. She was going to make the decision. She discovered the Manhattan Brothers and they had recorded the song first. Anyway, she eventually leaves South Africa in 1959 and becomes exiled in 1960. And then in 1963, she records this song that she had probably been performing with the Manhattan Brothers when she joined the band, when she discovered them. Anyway, the song, we know what it's about. It's about, you know, bringing prosperity to people. And it's quite interesting because it's about a beetle, and the song Twine means click, click, beetle, all right? But it's also like onomatopoeic, relating to the Xhosa language and how it uses so many clicks. So it works on two levels. It is about the beetle and about the beetle bringing rain, which means prosperity. And it's often performed in weddings, Xhosa weddings. And so, but it also is a symbol of the language, the Xhosa language. Anyway, so the song wasn't really a big hit for her. But it it really cemented her as an international figure. And at the same time, there were the United Nations speeches that she made, which made her an exile in South Africa. They took her passport away. So she was a person without citizenship in the world at one point. She didn't have any passport. She didn't have any citizenship. Anyway, in 1990, F.W. de Klerk declares the ANC to be a party that is legitimate in South Africa. And a lot of people come back, a lot of exiles come back into the country. And Nelson Mandela reaches out to Miriam Makeba and says, you've got to come back to South Africa. Because they had met each other just before she had left in the 1950s, and he really wanted her to come back. I think what Nelson Mandela was trying to do was show united force and bring all the big names back. And let's all stand together and try and shift South Africa into the new millennium. Anyway, and so he asked her to come back, and she complied and came back. And so I was trying to find the link, the advert link to the song. And I remember,
was it Heineken?
No, it wasn't Heineken. So I initially thought it was Heineken. And then I realized there was an advert in the 90s, a Bic pen advert. And I remember it so clearly. And she became the and she had a Bic pen. And it was the clicking. And then the advert is beautifully filmed. Actually, I went to go find it. Beautifully filmed. It was giving very Quincy Jones, Liberian Girl, Michael Jackson vibes. So in the midst of the 1990s, beautifully filmed advert with her clicking the pen. And she became, and what I found so poignant about the whole advert was the fact that here she is, a much older lady now, 30 years later. That song, the click song, when she first released it in 1963, she was at the beginning of her career. And you even hear in the recording, she talks about, this is a song from my village, And then 1990s, she comes back and she does the song. And it's a completely different person at that point doing this song with all these youngsters and almost like saying, I've come full circle and here you are, the new generation. And I'm handing the baton over through the click of the pen to the new generation. And it revived this like positive sentiment around Miriam Makeba. And it basically like acknowledged her for the light that she shone into the country in the midst of the darkness that was happening in the country in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And so I found it such a poignant, and watching the advert, I was like, oh my goodness, that's what they were trying to achieve. So in the midst of this research, I called her former record executive, the guy who signed it to Gala Records, Ivor Harberger, and I was like, tell me about this song. And he was like, well, when she came back to South Africa, we needed to generate money for her in the country. And so they made her re-record these hits because the rights in the songs were in the United States. And she didn't have access to that money. And so they made her re-record these songs like the Pata Pata and the click song so she could regenerate income in this country.
That makes lots of sense. How, are we playing out with Natalie Cole?
Yes.
This will be...
All right. So this song is... an iconic song in the 1970s. So when you hear the song, it's not going to be the Natalie Cole that you know.
Yes.
The Natalie Cole that you know is the jazz Natalie Cole. But in the early 1970s, when she left school, she didn't want to be associated with Nat King Cole. Because that was her dad. Her dad was a huge icon, one of the first black musicians to make it big in the United States, and she didn't want to like be on the coattails of her dad.
Yeah.
She wanted to be her own individual person. And you hear the song, you'll hear that. All right, but so she then decided she was going to go more in R&B direction, and people were like, "No, you're Natalie Cole. You have to do jazz." And she was like, "I don't want to do jazz. This is what I want to do." No record company wanted to sign her. Eventually, they do sign her based on this one song, and they were only going to release this one song. But the song was so huge that it landed up winning her the best R&B female vocal performance Grammy Award in 1976. Now, this was a huge upset because Aretha Franklin had won the best female R&B vocal performance category since 1968. So for 8 consecutive years, she had won that Grammy Award. Anyway, the song was huge. She also got the Best New Artist Grammy Award in that year. Later on, she would then finally go the jazz route. But this song was then used in 2022 for an ice cream advertisement. And by this stage, Natalie Cole had passed away.
Oh,
and
wow.
And that was the story
wow.
of This Will Be.
So we are done. And I hope you have a fantastic weekend, Sheldon.
You too.
I hope everybody has a fantastic weekend.
We all need it.
We'll all be back on Monday at 8. Thanks, everybody.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.